Now, with the kind of voice you have a kind of a raw voice. And how have you managed to maintain that all these years? Because it sounds great on the new tunes.
Well, I remember a review a while ago, and it said Jim Little sings. He sounds like he drinks a bottle of Jack Daniels, then eats the bottle. And I still drink Jack Daniels, but I'm not eating the bottle anymore.
So is that a hard style to maintain, or is it some ways easier or harder to have that raw kind of voice, or maybe
it just seems to come out. I think it's probably because of my Scottish ancestry. You know, it's we're used to shouting loudly and charging down hillsides and stuff like that. You know.
So that's awesome, man. So. Yeah. So when I was reading some things about you, at one point there was a thing that said you guys were often referred to as the thinking man's metal. Tell me what that means.
Yeah. Well, I think if you listen closely, the lyrics, the lyrical content, there's quite politically motivated, really. I mean, I take note of everything that's going on in the world, and I kind of try to comment on it through my songs. You know, there's just so much wrong going on, and I just try to reach out and make the point, you know, through my music.
So, out now on Reverb, you guys just have a lot of new tunes that recently came out. Now, is there a release date for a new album out yet, or where are you guys at in that stage?
Well, we have lots of songs written and all ready to roll, but we're just waiting to see if we can connect with the right record company. There's no point in putting another one out unless we've got some kind of, backing or something like that to give it a proper launch pad, you know. But we have loads of songs written, ready to roll. I'm really looking forward to getting it out again, because the songs are actually burning a hole in my head.
Yeah.
The Lair thing was the last one we put out. I mean, and that's the kind of, a lot of people have heard the band. We've put a few new songs in the set, and they reckon that we're actually harder and heavier than we ever were before. But, you know, that's a good thing, really, because I just think it has to, if it doesn't kick ass, then it ain't worth shit, you know?
Yeah, man, and, you know, I made a note, the couple of the songs that I really took to reminded me of the old style, and that's Cold Blooded Man and Forever Wild, and I was listening to them this afternoon, and it was a really nice, travel back in time to see you guys doing that music still.
Well, I don't think I've ever changed. I don't think I ever will, really. You know, I've said before, I don't really care what's in or out or coming and going. All I know is I've got my Marshall stack, I turn it up full, and I just go, just go for it, and that's it. You know, it's the same when I'm riding a bike or if I'm driving a car, I just floor it, and that's it.
Well, it comes out in your music for sure now. Now, are you guys playing a lot of dates right now? And is there, I know you mentioned you'd like to get over there. Is there hope of seeing you over here in the United States?
Yeah. Well, as I said earlier, that we have been playing around. We've played in Northern Ireland as well and Belfast. And we've actually, mostly in London, we've done Birmingham and just, up and down England, really, in general. But we really would love to get back over to the States because we've been getting lots of hits from fans and friends over there, and I reckon it would be we could really burn it up, you know. I'm sure we could do it, you know. As I said, now that Alan and Bob are involved, I think it's looking like we will maybe pull something like that off pretty soon.
Now, what's the music industry state there in Belfast? What's popular there now? Is your style of music still big over in Belfast, or is it?
Definitely, very much so, yeah. And punk is still alive and kicking as well in Belfast. And there's quite a lot of punk bands. There's a great little band, the Defects, are absolutely brilliant. Several other bands. There's another new up-and-coming metal band, Rabid Bitch of the North. They're friends of mine, and they kick ass big time.
Now, so here's the only request I have. If you guys come over here to the States, I hope you find a way to make a shirt with that original album cover on it.
Well, yeah, we are working on that one. You wouldn't believe how many requests we've had for that T-shirt, honestly. And I have a friend there over there in USA, a guy called Snake Rock. You may have heard of him. He actually got one made for himself, and trying to get him to do a few for myself and a few others, but we will work on that. We will get that one out again. As I said, we've getting loads of requests for that t-shirt, you know. It's a collector's item.
Yeah, man, I will definitely line up and pick one of those up. And, you know, the industry has changed so much. It's so cool that I'm talking to you now, because when I discovered you guys for the first time, I was actually working in a record store. Remember records, folks, those youngsters listening. And the new releases would come in, and the covers, what drew me to you guys, I was like, I got to see what this is about. And instant fan, man, that cover must have meant a lot to the band.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you a story about that. That cover was actually in the top 100 covers encyclopedia, believe it or not. And that was a really good. When I seen that, I thought, wow, that's fantastic. You know, it's just the image. I mean, it's such a striking image that it. And the other thing too, that was actually put out before the movie Terminator.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was actually before that movie, and it's just a striking image, and that's one that I've always kind of tried to portray. Even right up to the Lair video, you can still see the eye, you know, the red eye, come like as if there's something robotic or underneath all that, you know.
Yeah, man. So, hey, if looking back now over the long career you've had, if there was one show that was like a high point for Rogue Mail, can you think of what that show would have been? Like, when you just think back to, man, here's a high point for us.
Yeah, that was definitely Paris, 1986. It was a quite a big theater. It was packed to the gills. People were lighting their lighters and stuff, and it was just an enormous feeling on stage. The crowd they knew all the songs that were going with us. At the end of the gig, the promoter led on a black taxi to pick us up. Drove into the foyer at the front of the gig. A London taxi, a black London taxi. I don't know if you know about that.
You know, the
typical London taxi. They're kind of classic vehicles, and the promoter led that on, came right into the foyer of the theater. We got into the taxi. The crowd just surrounded the taxi. Absolutely couldn't move, even out onto the street, and they followed the taxi the whole way down the main street. It was just phenomenal. We couldn't believe it. You know, it was like, it reminded me of when I first seen the Beatles, and they were surrounded signing autographs and stuff. You know, that really blew me away. You know, that was the highlight really of our. Plus, we also got an award for Top International New Artist from that gig at the same time. And we received an award for that as well, which was outstanding, really. We just blew me away completely, you know.
Yeah, well, Jim, man, I was so excited when Alan shot me your name. I was like, are you kidding me, Rogue Mail? I want to talk to this guy. So it's so cool to get to meet you, man. And I hope that you make it over here to the States, because I definitely would love to do a live interview with you, plus see the show, man.
That would be excellent. I would really say that would be something to look forward to, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Jim Little, everybody, from Rogue Mail, the original and still lead singer of Rogue Mail. Jim, thanks so much for being here on the Marmy Rock Show.
Thank you very much for asking me. I really enjoyed it talking to you. I hope to meet you soon.
You too, man. Take care.
Excellent. Thanks.